Well, thank you, worship team. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you. My name is Bethany. I'm a youth and discipleship pastor here at Central. We're in the middle of a series called Made for Mission. And each week we've been reading a prayer together. And I wonder if this morning you would read this with me. This prayer reminds us of who we are, what we're doing. It helps to orient us. So if you would pray this alongside me. God, remind me of who we are as the church. Help me find my place in what we do. And let me wake up each day knowing why it matters for eternity. I'd also like to read our vision statement. If you're ever talking to someone and they're asking you, what's going on at Central Church? What do you guys do there? What are you all about? This is a vision statement that you can share with them. This is who we are, but also who we want to become. It says, our vision is to be a multicultural church, helping people experience God, connect with others, and impact our community with the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about another one of our core values today, as we've been doing each Sunday. Today we're going to talk about Christ-like living, and we define that here as becoming more like Jesus in all we do. So I'm excited to talk to you about that today, but first I want to talk to you about a Disney movie that I've seen many, many times, and it's called Moana. Has anyone seen the movie Moana? Okay, a lot of people on this side, a few others. It's a very good movie. Aesthetically, it's beautiful. The music in it is so good. It's about this young girl who lives on an island. This island is beautiful. It's like paradise. They have like abundance there, an abundance of beautiful plants, fruits. They have all they need. It's just perfect. But Moana, as she grows up, she has this desire to leave the island, to go off into the sea, and to have a great big adventure. She senses this calling in her life to do that, but she's not allowed to leave the island. She is supposed to stay there. Well, as she gets older, something starts to happen on the island, and destruction sort of starts to come. They have all these coconuts that used to be plentiful that are rotting. Their plants are dying. Things are happening that are not right. The weather is changing. And so eventually, Moana does go on this big adventure, and she sails off into the sea, and she faces all these obstacles, and she has this pet chicken that's there for comedic relief, and she has to fight off these pirate coconuts, and she meets up with this big shapeshifter guy played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, so he's like a funny guy, and she goes through all this stuff. She ends up face to face with this creature named Tafiti. Tafiti used to be this creature of life and abundance and thriving life, but she has turned into a creature of destruction. Moana comes face to face with her, and she has a rock with her, which is actually Tafiti's heart, which had been stolen from her. And I want us to all watch this clip together of Moana. So we're going to watch that together of what happens next.
Let her come to me.
I have crossed the horizon to find you. good. Did you catch what Moana sang to Te Fiti as she walked up to her so boldly and bravely? She said, "I have crossed the horizon to find you. I know your name. They have stolen the heart from inside you. But this does not define you. This is not who you are. You know who you are, who you truly are." This imagery and these words are so powerful, and they've really stuck with me. I love this sense and just that scene of Te Fiti becoming back who she truly is. The mask falls off. She's no longer this like force of destruction, but she comes back to who she truly is, which was this creature of life in abundance. And I've just been reflecting on that a lot lately, of what does it mean for someone to return to who they truly are or become who they were meant to be all along? How do we get there? And I've been thinking about this specifically in the context of being a follower of Jesus, because when I was younger in my faith and I was trying to figure out what I thought about the world, what I thought about Scripture and God and growing up in church, I remember thinking that my role as a follower of Jesus was to go to church and avoid bad things or bad people so that I could go to heaven. I think that was my understanding in the young Bethany mind of what I needed to do as a Christian person. I remember thinking, I just have to keep going to church and keep trying to be good so that I can go to heaven. And when I think about young Bethany, who was figuring out her faith and life and what she thought about things, I don't think what she thought was bad necessarily. I don't shame my younger self for that. But I do think as I've grown in my faith and still have so much growing left to do, I do think that following Jesus is so much more than that. So much more abundant and life-giving than just trying to constantly be good and just trying to eventually get to heaven. Because I think God might desire for us to discover who we truly are or meant to be in this life here and now. I think God might want to do something while we're here on earth to transform us so we can partner with God to impact the world. I think God might want to bring heaven down to earth into the here and now, right now, and change things that are going on in our lives and in the lives of people in our world. That might be why in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Thy kingdom come." We're praying that the Lord would bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth. So for Jesus followers, it's not so much this idea of only focusing on the end goal, only focusing on hopefully one day we can go to heaven, but instead inviting God into our reality here and now rather than trying to escape our reality. So these are the questions that I've just been wrestling with lately that I wonder if we could work through together this morning. Who does God want us to be while we're here on earth? Or rather, who does God want us to become while we're here? If God really does want to do something in the here and now with us, what is that? Who are we supposed to become? Who are we? Well, we can turn to Scripture to help with that. That's always a good place to turn. Today we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5. Just the first two verses, Ephesians chapter 5. I'll read that for you here in the NIV. It says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This might help us answer some of those questions of who we are, what are we supposed to be doing. Scripture says we ought to follow God's example, walk in the way of love, just like Christ. In the Message version, I really like how the Message puts these first two verses of Ephesians. It's very direct, and if you know me, I just love getting right to the point. And so in Ephesians, it says, "Watch what God does and then do it." I just love how direct that is. Watch what God does and do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious or extravagant, not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us.
love like that? Well, walking in the way of love sounds nice. Learning the way of love. Those are like really nice sounding phrases that I want to write down in my journal or like put on my wall. Walking the way of love. And it seems that simple, right? Walk the way of love. Do what God, or look at what God does and then do it. I think you and I might know it sounds so good. It sounds so nice. But I don't know if it's come so naturally and easily for us to look at how God loves and then live that out. So I think that might be why Jesus invites us on a lifelong commitment and openness to God changing us and forming us. It's a lifelong journey with Jesus to grow and look more and more like Jesus every single day. We're invited to walk in the way of love, but it doesn't happen instantly. And so we commit our lives to doing that over and over and over again. I also see in Scripture that this doesn't seem like a suggestion, unfortunately. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, follow Jesus if you feel like it, love others when it's convenient for you, walk in the way of love only to the really nice people in your life. Instead, this seems like, growing in the way of Jesus seems like the very DNA of what it means to be a Christian. That to be a Christian person means, naturally, that we are growing, growing, and growing to look more and more like Jesus every day that we continue to follow Jesus. So growing in our relationship with Jesus is not an optional part of our faith. It's not a suggestion. There's this ongoing invitation from God where God is saying, I want to make you like me. And our response, hopefully, it's to say yes to that. And what that will shape us into is Christ-like people as we learn to be more like Jesus. Because the truth is, we are always being shaped into something. Whether we realize it or not, we are being influenced by things around us to be someone, to act in some way. We are always going towards something, and I don't even think we often realize it. But if you've ever been in a country or a community, maybe where all the people have a different accent than you do, and you're there for an extended period of time, maybe at the end of your time there, you start to find yourself saying certain words like the people that you've just spent a lot of time with. Or maybe you're around someone often that has a certain sense of humor or says certain phrases, and you begin to pick those phrases up. My husband, Jonathan, I'm going to use an illustration with you. I didn't ask you, but I'm going to. He grew up in a small Oklahoma town, southern town, and he has all these southern phrases that he'll say that I have never heard of before. One of them, if we're in traffic or something happens and something, sorry, I'm giggling, knowing what's about to come out. Someone cuts him off, he might say, well, their cornbread ain't done in the middle. Like, they're missing something there. It's so funny. And he has all of these southern phrases, and I'm like, what are you talking about? But as we spent more time together, I would start to pick up some of these phrases also and say things like, well, just bless your heart, you know? Or, oh, Lord, help us. Like, he just has all these phrases. And so I say that to say that language, the language we hear around us shapes us. It becomes a part of who we are, and then we emulate that as well. And so the same is true for the media we consume, the people we spend time with, the things that we give our time and attention to. Those things are shaping us. They're doing something to us, and we probably don't even realize it. And so the call of Scripture is saying to us as a very moldable, shapeable, what's the opposite of influential? We are able to be influenced. The Scripture is saying to us, would you allow the things of God to be the things that shape you the most? Would you allow the things of God, love and holiness and Christ-likeness, would you allow those things to be the things that you give most of your attention to, that you allow to shape you? The call of Scripture is that we would grow to be like Jesus. To do and to be and to act like God. This is who we are. This is what we were made for. And really, when we become Christ-like people, I think we're becoming just who we were meant to be all along. We're becoming more ourselves. And this is what I mean by that, is that the core of who you are is a loved child of God who was made in the image of God. And so if you imagine like a fresh, new, perfect mirror, that is how God has created us, in the image of God to reflect God to the world very well, to give the world a clear image and picture of who God is. But because of this broken world that we live in, because of sin that we have engaged in or sin that the world has engaged in that we're affected by, the image of God has become a little distorted. So if you maybe imagine the mirror has a bunch of stuff on it, crud on it, where you can't quite get the clear image. But what God wants to do is come along and help clean that up and say, I want to make you like me. I want to make you look like Jesus. I'm going to clean this up so that the world can get a clear image and true picture of who God is through you. That's what God wants to do for us. Back to who you originally were, really. And this is what it means to grow in Christ-likeness and holiness, this lifelong journey with Jesus, where we allow Jesus to come in and correct us and change us and shape us and mold us so that we start to look more and more like Jesus as we continue to follow him throughout our life. So if you're an analytical sort of person, maybe you like graphs and data and numbers. I do not, but I'm sure some of you do. You may be wondering, what are we growing towards? If we say, yes, we want to allow Christ to create us to be more Christ-like, form us to be more Christ-like, what's the purpose? What's the end goal? You might be saying, if God's call on my life is to make me more like Jesus, how do I know if I have made it? How do I know if I've gotten there? Well, Matthew 5:48 helps us with that. It says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. There you go. That's how you know you're done. We're good, everyone. No, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Seems easy enough, surely. But this is a verse that helps us to understand holiness. To be Christ-like is to be holy, and to be holy is to be like God. So holiness is the foundation of our faith. We find ourselves in the Church of the Nazarene in the Wesleyan holiness movement, and so holiness is important to us. So what this means is not this sense of perfect, meaning flawlessness or pristine, but it means that we're becoming mature and complete in our faith, meaning that we are becoming more and more like Jesus, really who we were meant to be all along. It's the sense of growing and growing to look more and more like Jesus. That's what Scripture asks of us. And that is what it is like to become a Christ-like or holy person. So as we talk about this sort of end goal or what we're going towards or how do we know if we've made it, I'm reminded of this story. Last week, I went to a conference. Several people in the room were also at the conference. It's called the Wesleyan Holiness Women Clergy Conference. It's a very long name. But basically, it was a group of female pastors from different Wesleyan Holiness denominations that gathered together for worship and support. There was preaching, there were workshops, there were denominational gatherings. It was a rich, rich time together. And I loved being there, surrounded by so many women who are so devoted to Jesus and living out their calling and pastoral ministry. One of the workshops I went to was led by this guy that was doing his PhD research on the experiences of female lead pastors in Wesleyan holiness denominations. Okay, so he did a ton of research interviews on female lead pastors in different Wesleyan holiness denominations, so including the Church of the Nazarene. And really, he was curious to find out why the percentage of female lead pastors is very low in churches who affirm and support women in all areas of ministry. And so, if you're curious, in the Church of the Nazarene in the USA-Canada region, the number of lead female pastors is at about 14% right now. So this guy did a ton of research. He interviewed all these women. He learned about their experiences, a lot of the difficult things they face, the barriers they face, but also what brings them hope, what's helping them go on. It was very interesting. He just presented all of his research findings to the group, and it was good. It was a good workshop. At the end, there was a time for Q&A, and so someone from the back raised their hand, and he said, well, what do we want to see here? What's the end goal? Do we want to see 50% female pastors, 50% male pastors? Like, how do we get to these numbers for, like, people to be happy and for it to be made right? And I remember thinking, that's a valid question. Like, what do we want to see? Like, what are we going towards here? But the presenter answered that question in a really interesting way that kind of shifted my thinking a little bit. He said, I really appreciate your question, but I think you're asking the wrong question, because I'm not so much worried about getting the right numbers to solve this problem. I'm worried about looking at what's going on right now, putting in sustainable practices and creating new developments and opportunities for very qualified women to lead where they're called to lead. So he was just saying, I don't care so much about getting to a certain point and being done. I care more about these developments and what we're doing right now to help with this. And he later said, you know, the results will speak for themselves if we do all we can right now to support and equip women who are called. The results is a later problem. We'll see that happen as a result of what we do here and now. And I thought that was very interesting. I've been thinking about that in the context of this sermon, in the context of growing in holiness and Christ-likeness, that perhaps it's not about just getting to a certain point and seeing these results and being done, right, and knowing that we've made it. But instead, it's like a shift in our thinking of this is a lifelong journey with Jesus, where Jesus is shaping us and forming us over and over again to look more like him. Holiness happens again and again and again as we are growing to look like Jesus. So what is holiness all about? If we talk about Christ-likeness and holiness, and that's how we're growing, what we're growing towards, what is holiness all about? And I heard this quote recently that I think is helpful for us. It says, holiness is more about the presence of God than it is about the absence of sin. So this is not to say that sin is not important or not a real threat to the world and to relationships. I think you and I know that when we ourselves are gripped with sin, or we have friends or family members that are gripped with sin, that it can destroy marriages and friendships and relationships and creation. We see sin most clearly in violence and war and in taking advantage of others and disregard for the vulnerable in our society. We know that sin is real, has a real grasp on our world. So Christian people ought to be aware of sin and speak out against it and not allow it in our lives or our homes. So this is not to diminish the danger of sin or our sense of urgency in rejecting it, but more so as talking about what is a holy response for Christian people to sin. This quote does mean that becoming Christ-like and becoming holy people is not just about avoiding sin. Christianity is about who you are and what you are becoming, not so much about who or what you are avoiding. If we define our life as becoming like Jesus only by what we avoid, rather than what we are growing towards and being filled up by, I think we might be missing it. Because we could spend our entire lives as Christian people only focused on avoiding sin. You might say, I want to be a holy and Christ-like person, so I'm going to avoid everyone and anything that is sinful. And what that would probably look like is staying away from certain people, staying away from certain things. You might begin to see people around you as a threat to your Christianity because they live life differently than you do. You might begin to be fearful or angry at the world. But I just wonder if the call of God
is to not just avoid the world. I don't know if the call of God is to say, Christian people, avoid everything else that might be bad or unholy. But I wonder to be holiness people who are growing in Christ-likeness means that we allow ourselves to be filled with the presence and glory of God and then step into a world that is broken with sin and say, there is a God who transforms lives, and be a witness to a God who is real, who is creating holiness and Christ-likeness in us. Right? I wonder if that's God's call on our life, not to say, hide back here, stay away from everything, but instead be empowered by God's Spirit to step into a broken world to say, there is hope for you. There is transformation that is available for you. I've seen it in my own life. I think that's what it means to be a holy and Christ-like person, that we might allow Jesus to pull us deeper into the world rather than step away and be afraid of it. When we become more Christ-like, we become more like a Jesus who engaged the broken world with broken people with the truth of the gospel. That's what it means to be a holy person. This quote from my seminary president, I feel like, sums this up really well. He says, the movement of true holiness people is never to isolate from the world in self-protective worry, but to engage the world in confident hope. That's what it means to be a Christ-like person, to step deeper into relationship with the world. A way that we can see if this is happening in our lives is through a litmus test that I wrote for us. So I wrote down some questions I've been wrestling with, and I wonder if you would wrestle with them as well. So this is a litmus test for if we are growing in our relationship with Jesus and if we are becoming more Christ-like, holy people. The first question, and the most important one, is my love for others growing? Can you look back in your life and see your love for others growing? You might also ask yourself, is my empathy for the world around me expanding? Is it becoming easier to forgive? Am I more quick to reconcile, so apologize, admit where we're wrong than I once was? Am I more slow to anger than I used to be? Holy people are those who are becoming like Christ. We'll see that their love for others is growing. And they will see the characteristics of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 start to define their life. We heard those read earlier as we worshiped through song by Pastor Chad. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is showing us what it looks like to be a holy and Christ-like person. He lists all these characteristics of what we will find. It said, blessed are the merciful. So it's a given that Christ-like people will show mercy and grace to one another. Blessed are the peacemakers. So it's a given that Christ-like people will find themselves and intentionally be in spaces where there's not peace to allow God to work through them to create peace. It said, blessed are those who are being persecuted. Well, we can't be persecuted if we're not engaged in a difficult world with God's holy love. This is what I see from the call of Scripture, that those who are becoming more like Jesus will become more engaged in the world rather than more avoidant of the world. I think we would be more in conversation with people who are unlike us, more open to conversation, more curious about the people that we see. I think God would help us develop, God will help develop a lens for us to where we can see everyone is who they truly are as a loved child of God, just like how God desires us to see ourselves in that way. Because the thing is, if we are only defining our Christianity by avoidance or by sin rather than being filled with the holiness of God, The very things that we may be tempted to avoid or stay away from because they're bad or unholy, or we see as a threat to our Christian lifestyle, those are the very things that God desires to transform. And the things that are most transformational in this world are not criticism or shame. Those things don't transform. It's not transformative for Christian people to avoid others because we see them as sinful or unholy. I have only known people who have been loved into the kingdom of God by Christ-like and holy people. That is what is so powerful in this world, is the love of God that works through us, that we are filled by, to where we step into the world and engage the world with this holy love, this transforming love. And if you're wondering why I'm talking so much about love in a sermon about Christ-likeness and holiness, Mildred Bangs Wynkoop has something to say about that. I have a bobblehead of this lady in my office, Mildred Bangs Wynkoop. She was an ordained elder in the Church of the Nazarene. She was an educator. She was a profound theologian that was very influential in our denomination as well as others. And this is what she says. This will help us. She says, love is the essential inner character of holiness. And holiness does not exist apart from love. We cannot separate holiness and love. We cannot be Christ-like people and become more Christ-like if our love is not growing. And if we are truly the people of God who are growing in holiness, our love for others will show for it. And I just want to end and like remind us of this, that this is only something that God can do. No amount of good works can accomplish this. There's not a certain amount of church services you could attend or a magic prayer you could say where God would sanctify you and make you holy. Holiness is not something we work our way into. It's not something you get after trying hard enough. It's not something you achieve. Holiness is a gift from God that God gives when we open ourselves up to the good work that God wants to do in us. It comes from God and God alone. We can't work our way into it. And Dr. David Busick says this about Christ-likeness. He says, we cannot control our Christ-likeness, but we can cooperate with it. I really like how that's said. So we cannot sanctify ourselves. We cannot make ourselves into Christ-like people, but we can create space for the Holy Spirit to move and work in us. We can cultivate the soil of our hearts where God can plant new and good things in us. If you are a person that likes to garden, or maybe you're a person that has a lot of houseplants in your house, I think you'll understand this, is that there's some things that we can do, and there's some things we cannot do. So if you have a houseplant, you can give it the best soil that you can find. You can put it in a window that gets great light. You can water it at the appropriate times, but as much as you try, you cannot force the plant to grow, unfortunately. And just like if you're tending a garden, you can pull all the weeds, you can do all you can to cultivate the soil, but you cannot force the plants to grow. It's the same thing here. We cannot force ourselves into holiness or work our way into it. But we can say yes to this invitation from God, this invitation that God is saying, I want to make you like me. I want to grow your love. I want to grow your empathy. I want to grow your confidence in engaging a broken world with my transforming love that can change lives. That's what God desires of us. And I really just see one requirement from God. And that is to continue to have a posture and willingness of saying yes. Of saying, God, yes, I want to be made like you. I want to grow in my relationship with you. God, would you correct me? Would you change me? Would you shape me? Would you get rid of the parts that are not like you so that I can become a more Christ-like person? It's only the work of God. So this is for us today. No matter
if you have been to church your entire life and you have a rich faith life, or if you're newer to faith and this is all kind of new for you, no matter what, no matter where you are, God wants to do a good work in you. And God has this invitation for you that says, I want to make you like me. I want to clean this up and for you to be a true reflection of me to the world. I want you to be filled with me and my holiness and my glory so that you can step into a broken world and engage with it and be a witness that there is hope, that there is a God who transforms lives. And so just my question for us is, will we say yes to that? Again and again and again, every step in our faith journey, will we continue to say, yes, God, I want to be made like you? If that's your posture today, I wonder if you would take some time to reflect during this song. Are you willing to be made like Jesus? Are you willing to give up some things that maybe God wants you to? Are you willing to be shaped and formed to look like who Jesus is? Will you say yes to that?